Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host. And Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we are excited and we are delighted that the Lord has granted us one more day. One more day. Hallelujah, Jesus. Some writer says one more day. One more day. Glory to God. We just thank God this morning. Father, we praise you and we glorify your name. We honor you this morning. We ask, oh God, that you would take control of the hurricane that's about to hit Louisiana and Mississippi and a lot of the surrounding states. We ask, oh God, that you control the storm, oh God, that there wouldn't be many lives lost. Father, we are trusting and we are depending on you, God, because we know that you can do all things, but you can never fail. Oh, God, our trust and our hope is in you this morning. We ask you to protect all of our friends and family members that are in those areas. Protect everybody, Lord. Rest your hand upon them that they will know that there's a God that lives and breathes and a God that saves, oh, God. Father, we are trusting in you for your help this day. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We're going to go into worship, and then we're going to come back and give you a word for today. The spirit of deception is in the earth. That is the word we're going to preach today. Coming out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to preach that message today after we listen to a few worship songs.
Oh, say that you are born.
No.
and anxiety. The Spirit of God laughs at you. Anxiety, go. He gives his beloved sweet sleep, and while they rest, he cares for those he loves. Sleeplessness, go, go. You thief of rest and peace, go in the name of Yeshua. Ringing in the ear, stop now. Stop now. I hear a sound. I hear a sound coming from the east. A roar that's beginning to mount. A sound that chases darkness. Fear and doubt have no place in the path of this sound. Peace of mind. Peace of mind. Prince of Peace says,
you gotta tell them, you have a fire, oh, I will be
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are excited and delighted this morning because the Lord God Almighty has granted us one more day to be in the land of the living. We are truly blessed to be here. And this morning we want to teach this morning. We want to release this message talking about there's deception. There's the spirit of deception is in the earth. The spirit of deception is in the earth. What is the deception? Deception is man, someone would lie to you. Lie about you or lie, turn things around and show you things that look good while they're bad. They say things that sounds good, but at the same time, they're doing things that are bad. Like right now in the United States of America and all over the world, you have the president saying one thing, but doing something else. You understand? So that is deception. That is not the truth. And God does not stand for that. In the book of Thessalonians, let's pray. Father, oh God, my Lord and my Savior, my soon coming King, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this day, for this is truly the day that you have made. And we are rejoicing and we are glad. We are exceedingly glad. Oh God, we ask you to speak to us and speak through us today in this service. Oh God, let me not speak a word that did not come from you, but only that which comes through the 66 books and by your spirit. God, we ask you to cover all those in the line of the hurricane, oh God, that they might be safe, and even those that could not get out and did not want to go, they want to stay and watch over their home and over their material things. We ask you to keep them safe, oh God, that there will be less life lost. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Here in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, but relative to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and all gathering together to meet him, we beg you, brethren, Paul is talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he is ministering to them. I'm coming out the Amplified Bible. He's ministering to them that we all come together. Let's come together. Let's get together because times are getting tougher. There's a lot of deception in the earth, and we need to help each other. We need to stand together and help each other stay strong in the midst of all the trials and tribulations that we are facing now. So Paul says, not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or deceived or disturbed or kept excited or alarmed, whether it be by some pretended revelation of the spirit or by word or by letter, alleged to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already arrived and is here. People are telling you that the Lord, the day of the Lord is here, is already here. Paul said, don't allow people to deceive you, distract you, get you too excited that you don't know the time of the day. You know, sometimes we get so excited because we heard some things and we see some things and we lose all train of thought. Hallelujah. But Paul says, stay focused. He said, let no one deceive or beguile you in any way. For that day will not come, listen, that day will not come except the apostate comes first. We're talking about falling away. Unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come. And the the man of lawlessness, talking about the Antichrist, sin, is revealed. Who is the son of doom or perdition? In Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. You will see all of this in here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's look there in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. People are going to leave. Folk are going to depart from the church and go following all types of stuff. They're following the witches, the warlocks, the workers of juju, the soothsayers, the palm readers, the crystal ball readers, those with the Ouija boards. All of these stuff they're going to go after because it's going to look good to them. It's going to sound good to them. And they're going to say, well, let me just try this because I've been going to the church for so long and it doesn't seem like anything is happening for me. Anything is working out. So what do I have to lose? Let me try this. Let me see if I'm going to get the car that I need. Let me see if I'm going to get the wife that I'm waiting on. Let me see if I'm going to find the husband that I'm waiting on will find me. You know, they will try everything. You know, I remember when I was a young man back in my country, and I shared this sometime back in the country that I grew up in Barbados. I shared this sometime on Blog Talk Radio. And I had a friend named Tony. And Tony Brown and his mother's father, there was into witchcraft. He's all of his family. And so they had Ouija boards and crystal balls and magician wands and all types of powders. They used to get this from this guy, this magician man up in Michigan called Detroit, Michigan, DeLawrence. He used to ship things all over the Caribbean. But when I look at them and I look at Tony and I were about the same age, but Tony was progressing. It seemed like he always dressed clean, neat, had money in his pocket, you know, always be flowing, you know, and his family house was nice. It was very decorated. It had family all over the world. He had brothers and sisters and nephews and aunts, all the different countries, because they were progressing. I said, man, I want what he had, you know. So I had crystal ball, I had magician wand, Ouija board, all that stuff. But, you know, being when you come up in it and your family was into the church thing, you know, somehow that stuff don't fit right with you. Even though you have the stuff, it just don't feel right. I had to get rid of all that stuff. I got rid of all that stuff. So here it says people that Christians that profess to be Christians, Paul's saying that they're going to fall away. They're going to leave the faith. They're going to go into other things. Why? Because the deception that's in the earth is going to tell them that there's another way and that they don't need to keep going to the church building. They don't need to keep fellowshipping with other Christians of the same like faith. They can get into this and get into that, and people are going to just fall away. They're going to turn away from falling and seeking Jesus. Hallelujah. But the true Christians are going to stand the test of the trail of their faith. He said in verse 4, he says, I'm in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, verse 4 says, who opposed and exalted himself as so proudly and insolently against and over all that is called God or that is worship, even to the actuality, taking his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming that he himself is God. In Ezekiel chapter 28, I want to teach from this chapter next week. This is so such a powerful chapter. We get one verse. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2. I looked at this last night. This is so powerful, I tell you. But you should read this chapter for yourself. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse, read the whole chapter. It is a powerful, powerful, anointed book where the prophet is talking about deception and how these wicked people are in the earth. Ezekiel is talking about, you can preach this whole verse, this whole chapter here. In here, chapter 2, Ezekiel 28 and chapter 2. Ezekiel says, let's start verse 1. He says, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thy, verse 2, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. You see, Ezekiel says, there's folk that have they're lifted up, their hearts are lifted up with pride. They're prideful, and they're acting like they're gods. But God says, though they set themselves in a high position, their presidents, their congressmen, their senators, and they got high positions, they're not God. They act like they're God. They talk to people like they're God. They want people to treat them like they're God, but they're not God. Daniel chapter 11. Go to Daniel chapter 11. It's all over the book, people. We're talking about deception that's in the earth right now. It's right here in the earth. Daniel chapter 11. I just want to put a little something here on this radio today. Chapter 11, Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 and 37. Talking about the spirit of deception is in the earth. The spirit of deception is in the earth. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 and 37. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Hear that? Let me read that again for you all, so you need to get this. He said, and the king shall do according to his will, his own feelings, his own thoughts, his own expectations. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. You see, against Jesus, against the Yeshua, against Yahweh. He's going to speak against the supreme God, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Verse 37 says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. He don't care nothing about God. Don't you know you got a lot of people out here because they're driving nice cars, living nice gated communities, and they wear the best clothes and can eat at the fanciest restaurants. They don't have no regard or reverence for the sovereign God of heaven and earth. He said, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. So he don't care too much for women. You understand? He is bisexual, homosexual. He don't care too much for women. So it says that, no. Nor the desire for women, nor regard any God. For he shall magnify himself above all. He's better than everybody else. This, you can read this thing. This whole book is good too. This whole book is real good. Verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Do you not recollect that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Paul said, I told you all about these things, that they're going to be people that are going to come into the church and go act like they are God. They're going to come into the house of God and act like they are God. Paul said, you got to pay attention. We find ourselves not paying attention to these people. They are saying this and saying that. But you have to watch their actions. You say you love somebody, but your actions don't say that. Love is not what love says. Love is what love does. People say, well, you're my friend, you're my brother, you're my sister. Some only want to be your brother or sister because of what you can do for them. But they don't want to be your brother because they truly love you as God loved them. Hallelujah. The Bible says, do unto others that you will have them do unto you. So how are you going to say you love someone when you don't really love them? You're just saying it because it sounds good coming off your lips, but it's not in your heart. Jeremiah chapter 17 and 9 says the heart is deceitful above all. Who can control it? Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's look at it and read the word from the book. Jeremiah chapter 17. Listen to what he says. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart of man. So when folks come and tell you, oh, brother John, I love you. Brother Peter, I love you. You have to look at them. Discern if it's really coming out of their hearts. Folks say they care for you, but when you have need, they can't help you. Some folk only saying they love you because they know that every time they need something, they can call on you. They can send you an email. They can send you a text message. They can write you a letter. They can call you on the telephone and say, look, brother, sister, I need some help. I need a couple hundred dollars. I need $1,000. I'm in bad straits. I need help. I need to get out of this position that I'm in now. Financially, I'm stranded. They call you every time. But you just call them one time. They say, look, I need you to pray for me. They say, I pray for you. But they ain't praying. They're going about doing their own thing. Do you hear what I'm saying? You need people that going to stand with you when you're standing. And you need people that going to follow you when you're falling. Hallelujah. They're not going to skip around and pass over to the other side of the shadow, like the Levi and the priest. You need people that when you fall, going to reach down and pull you up. You need people that when you have a problem and your finances in trouble and you can't pay a telephone bill or water bill or light bill, you can call on them. And if they got it, they say, okay, brother. So, okay, sister, I got you. I got your back. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to help you. Not them going to tell you. They know they got it and then tell you, look in your face and say, well, I pray for you because I don't really have it. All they can do is pray for you. All you can say is thank you and keep on moving. Listen, now you know what is restraining him from being revealed at this time. It is so that the way that he may be manifest. He may be manifested. Oh, Jesus, you got people come right by the house and just stay there, running their mouth. But glory to God. So we hear the Antichrist is being held back. You know, people saying, well, the Antichrist is this and the Antichrist is this. The man of perdition is here. Well, the spirit of perdition is here. The spirit of the Antichrist is in the earth right now. That's the spirit of deception. The spirit of deception is coming from the Antichrist. But he's not here yet. He's not here to be revealed yet because he's being restrained by the Holy Spirit. He's being restrained by the Holy Spirit because many that are lost must be found, must come to the light and know that Jesus is Lord before the Antichrist is revealed. He is being kept back for an appointed time for the mystery of lawlessness that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority is already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains is taken out of the way. See, the Holy Spirit is going to be removed. He will be removed at some point in time. And then the Antichrist will step up and begin to deceive more and more people, even those that proclaim to know Christ, but don't really know him because they have not given their heart completely over to him. And you know, you can go to a lot of these fancy churches and you can see, if you have the spirit of discernment, you can see the people playing church. They're playing church. They're not the church. You say, well, Pastor, you're judging people. No, I'm not judging people. God gave me the spirit of discernment. And hopefully you got it too. And when you look at them and when you listen to them, you can know from hearing them and watching them that they have not given their whole heart to God. They have not sold out. They're not sold out to the kingdom building. They're not into the kingdom building. You understand? They're here to get what they can get out the world because they're seeking more and more of the world. Hallelujah. The Bible said we're in this world, but we're not of this world. He said that we got to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind. So we are not after the things of this world. We are going to enjoy what we labor for. That's why we still go and work at 72, almost 72 years old. We still go and work because we're not dependent on the world to give us a handout. You know, folk now don't want to go back to work because every time they look for this deceptive present to give them a stimulus. They're looking for a stimulus check. They're looking for a handout. They don't want to go back to work. They want more unemployment so they can stay home and get on the telephone, you know, talk people business and gossip, you know, instead of going working. The Bible says if a man don't work, he don't eat. It says you should eat by the sweat of your brow, but they don't want to go to work. And they say, oh, he's a good present. Why? Because he has given them, he meets them right where they are. Right? They're lazy, so I'm sitting at home and don't want to work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When they're young and healthy. I'm 72, almost 72 years old. And every time I get a job, I go to work. I'm retired. But every time I get a job to go do some work, I go to work. And it's not easy work. It's hard work. Because usually when I finish a job, I got to rest for a couple of days. I have to rest for a couple of days to get my body recuperate because I'm working with heavy equipment, air conditioning and furnaces and boilers and stuff like that, heavy equipment. But I do it with the help of the Holy Ghost. No. Here. Let's get some more of this inside here before we get over here. Let's give you some more. I got. Yeah, we got some. We got a lot here. We want to give you some. Want to give you something. Here, verse 8 says. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by his appearing at his coming. Go to Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 11. And verse 4. And this word is so beautiful. Glory to God. Because people are just going through. And I looked at this hurricane, even with this hurricane. And this hurricane, you know, and this hurricane, this morning they say it's going to be about 160 miles per hour. 150, 160 miles per hour. That's a powerful, powerful hurricane. And people are still staying. A lot of people move up to higher ground, going to Texas, the Mississippi further. It's going to hit certain parts of Mississippi, but certain parts are not going to get touched. And some people are going up far, going up higher ground, you know, further inland. Some people are still staying. I hear the governor from New Orleans, Louisiana, was saying that a lot of people I stayed up last night packing stuff and putting stuff away in their homes, and they're going to stay in their homes. And he's saying that he hoped that they would be safe in their homes. Well, if you hear a hurricane coming at 170 miles, 160, 150 miles an hour, why would you want to stay where you close to the waterway? You're in a low area. Man, you got to leave all that stuff. You can get more clothes. You can get more shoes. You can get more money. You can get more jewelry. But you can't get no more life. Then you die. Unless you die as a Christian, if you die sanctified and separated from this world, you can live another life, the resurrected life. But if you're not truly giving your heart to Christ Jesus and you die, that's it. You're not gonna have a resurrected body. Man, get out of that place. And then you want to live. If you are a sanctified Christian, you want to live so you can tell somebody for Christ, that he called you home for real. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're talking about the spirit of deception is in the earth. Deception, lying, when somebody just totally deceived you. Somebody say, well, I'm going to do this for you, but they don't do it. They lie to you. Somebody say you're supposed to be going one place, but to take you someplace else. That's deception. You listen to the President of the United States of America. When President Trump was taking the people out and getting them out little bit by the grave, the troops, and he goes in and draw them out all at once. Why? He thought that he could make Trump look bad, that he got them all out at once. But Trump is doing them in, was doing it in a way where that when he get the troops out a little bit about, at the same time he's bringing out some of the from some of the people, you know, some of the citizens, some of the people that from the United States citizens here bringing out some at the same time. But he pulls out the troops all at once and leaves the citizens to be in harm's way. Deception. He's trying to make Trump look bad and make himself look good and turn around. All the people got killed. All the people got killed. Up to last night, the bombs going off in Afghanistan. We don't know how many people got killed last night. Listen, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reproof with iniquity, and reproof with equity. Excuse me. Let's read it again. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4. And we're talking about the spirit of deception is in the earth. Everything you hear people saying and everything you see people doing, don't you run off and let it get be moved by what they're saying and doing. Pay attention. See if what they're saying and doing line up with God's word. It may look good, it may feel good, it may taste good, but it's not God's word. It's not God's instructions. It's not God's command. Hallelujah. Somebody said, come on, go over here with me, girl. You're going to have a good time tonight. I'm going to take care of you. Come over here, boy. I'm going to look out for you. But what you're doing is not, it's not godly. You'll find that the thing that they want you to do is not godly, but you're going to benefit from it. You might get a couple hundred dollars. You may get $1,000, $500. You may get the money that you need to pay your bills. But the thing that you got to do to pay to get the money does not constitute what God requires. So what is happening? You're being deceived by the enemy to get what you want, but it doesn't please God. See what I'm saying? He said, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, talking about God, Jesus Christ, and reproof with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. See, he shall destroy the wicked, talking about Jesus. Jesus don't have to use weapons. His words is powerful. His Bible says his word is like a two-edged sword. His word is like a two-edged sword. It cuts going and cuts coming. Hallelujah. But you don't want the word to cut you. You want the word to heal you. Verse 9 says of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is through the activity and working of Satan, and will be attended by great power and with all sorts of pretended miracles and signs and delusive marvels, all of them lying wonders. Now see, this is deception. The Antichrist, the false preacher, the false prophet, the false apostles, the false evangelists, those that are working for Satan, going to perform miracles and signs and wonders. But it's just going to be an illusion. It's just like when you go to one of these magic shows and the man shows you a woman in the box. He got a woman, a female in the box, or he may have a male in the box. And the box is very colorful. And then he says, well, I'm going to show you this. I'm going to cut him in half or cut her in half, and I'm going to put them back together. Now, you know, for real, if somebody take a big old saw or a big old sword and cut you in half, all your gut and your blood and the filth from your intestines going to roll on the ground. They can't put you back together. You dead. Once they cut you in half, your spirit going to leave the blood because the life is in the blood. But they show you on the stage that this magician gets them black like he's the devil, like he's like Dracula, got the cape on and all this stuff. And he got this woman in this box or this man in this long box, and he takes a saw or he takes a sword, and has his assistant or he may do it himself, and he cut this. The sword goes right down through the center of the box or the saw. And it moves them apart. The head part with the body, the chest and stuff go on one side, and from the belly with the legs go on the other side. But when you look on the ground, you don't see no blood. You don't see not even one drop of blood. But see what it is, like right here, he says here in this book, it's going to be delusion, marvels, all of them lying wonders. You hear what he says? All, not some, all lying wonders. It's all deception. So when he put back the two pieces of bodies back together, he put the head and the legs back together, and then he opened the lid, and the woman comes out whole. It's a delusion. Delusion or illusion. But all it is a trick. Deception. So when we see these things, we got to understand Satan is going, and his imps are going to perform much miracles. But it's only going to last for a short time. People are going to get healed. People are going to get delivered. People are going to get restored. But Satan and his agents, but the sickness that they restored from is not going to last for a long time. The restoration is not going to last a long time because all it is deception. Understand? So here he says here, verse 10 says, and by unlimited seduction to evil and with all wicked deception, for those who are perishing, going to perdition, because they did not welcome the truth, but refused to love it that they might be saved. You see, they don't want the truth. They refuse to accept the truth. They're following the deception, the wicked deception that Satan and his agents. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul talks about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen. See, we know the truth. Verse 1, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, the ministry we have is the ministry of the kingdom, the ministry of truth, the ministry of deliverance, the ministry of salvation, the ministry of righteousness, the ministry of holiness. As we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't give up. We don't get tired. Because we have the mercy that comes from God. So we don't get tired in doing what we're doing. Hallelujah. We are constantly going forth every day. Every day trying to go to get somebody, get the word out that somebody might hear something and say, yes, this is what I need. This is what I need. I need to get know more of Jesus Christ. So here, Paul says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We expose everything that's not honest. That's what Paul is saying. We renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. We are not tricky. We are not trying to use no tricks on anybody. Blog Talk Radio family, we come on here. We don't use any tricks on anybody. We don't try to cut anybody down. We don't try to make anybody smaller. We make ourselves high. Because the only one is high is Jesus Christ. He was hanged up high on a cross, stretched wide on a cross, and he sits high on the throne in glory. He's the only one. He says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. See, when people see us and hear us, they hear us speaking the truth, and they see us living the truth. Hallelujah. We use no tricks, no deception on anyone. I was just in Louisiana, and you know, every time they want to do something, I said, look, I got this, I got that. I can do it. I could sit back and say, well, go ahead and do that. You know, but why try to use some type of a trick on people that you know is your brother and sister? Well, we don't use tricks on anybody. We got to say, your brother or my brother or my sister in Christ. Because we want people that don't know Christ to see Christ in us. That's why we want our light to shine. We don't want the darkness to come out. Every one of us have some darkness in us, and God said so. Because if we didn't, he wouldn't say, let your light so shine. He would say, just go on. But he know that we still got some stuff in us that the light needs to shine on. So he said, let your light so shine that man will see your good works and glorify the Father. How you think that some Christian folk, that something, when something goes wrong, that they act a fool? And they want to shoot people. They want to kill people. They want to fight with people. They cuss people out. Why? Because there's darkness still in them. They have not overcome that part of their life yet with the light of Christ. Hallelujah. But the Bible says here, verse 3 says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It's our gospel. See, because we are living this thing. We are releasing this thing every day, every day, every day. And the only way that this gospel will be lost, our gospel that we're preaching to be lost, is to those that are lost. They are lost because they don't want to come to Blog Talk Radio. They don't want to hear it. They want to hear something that tickles their ears because they got itchy ears. They want a message that they say, oh, yeah, Pastor preached so good today. Man, the word was so strong today. I just love what Pastor said today, because all the word was doing, the word was exciting for them. The word was tickling their ears. The word was not feeding their soul, but was tickling their ears, making them feel good. They were not convicted. Hallelujah. But he says here, Paul says in verse 4, in whom, he says, but verse 3 says, but if our gospel is hid or lost, it is hid to them that are lost. If it is hid. And he said, in whom the God of this world, talking about Satan, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan controls the world right now. And Satan, just like this president that we got now, our president of the United States, they put things out there in the world that is not true. And even my family members, they believe everything he says. You understand? And he put this lie out there on the computers, and the media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of them out there, they got this thing with them. They have this obsession with lying because Satan is controlling them. And if you put truth on the Facebook or you put truth on Instagram, they come back and say, well, we fact check. What you said is not true, but that's not safe. What they do is that they're making the truth look like a lie. They don't want the truth to go forth, because the truth go forth, people will see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, and it should shine on them, onto them. So Satan is operating through the media, all of these television sites. They're controlled by Satan. They're in the Illuminati. They're in the Masons. They're in the Scientology. They're in all of them. All of them, they're controlled by it. And this is what they're doing. They're trying to control your mind and block your mind up, and you're running behind this president, that president, but you're not running behind Jesus. And so many people are going to go to hell that think that they know God, but they don't know Jesus. Because if you don't know Jesus, how can you know God? How you can't know him? And some say they believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. They're going to hell. I got family members that are going to hell too. I told the truth. They're going to hell because they don't believe in Jesus. Okay? Listen. It says, Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your service for Jesus' sake. See, everything that we do is for Jesus. Everything that we do. Glory to God. We expose darkness with the light that's inside of us. Don't care who it is. Even if it's a family member, we expose the darkness that's in them with love. Even if they receive the light that we have, but we expose it. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. See, in this earthen vessel, we have this treasure. What treasure? The treasure of God. The treasure of God is the Holy Spirit. He lives on the inside of us. So he does not allow us to be deceitful. He does not allow us to be cunning. He does not allow us to be lying. Do you hear what I'm saying? No. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So that everything that comes out of us is of him, not of us. Let's give you a little bit more. Let's see where we are. Let's give you a little bit more. Glory to God. Satan is seducing the world with all the stuff that he's showing the world. And we see it here in verse 10. We read it just now. Verse 11 says, therefore God sends upon them a misleading influence a working of error and a strong delusion to make them believe what is false. God has released them. Hear what I'm saying. God has released them to believe what they've been seeing and falling after in verse 11, King James Version. Let's read it in King James Version. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they shall believe a lie. You see? Verse 10 says, and with all deceivableness in them that perish, those that are lost. They're perishing because they don't know the gospel. They don't have the gospel. They have not received Christ as Lord and Savior. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. People are so deceived, they tell you now to your face, I don't want to hear nothing about God. They tell you, I don't want to hear nothing about Jesus, not so much God. Because you can say God, they say that's all right. But if you call Jesus, there's something about the name of Jesus that it disturbs every demon. Every demon hearing is disturbed when they hear the name Jesus. You will not know that a person has demons. You walk with them, you go to the Wendy's, you go to the McDonald's or the Popeyes or Kentucky Fried Chicken, or you go to all you can eat place with them on Sunday after church, and they go to church, the same church for you, and you go place with them. But one time you just sit on side talking with Jesus, all of a sudden you'll see them, they get all mad, upset. And they will say something like, why every time you got to talk, every time you got to start a conversation, you got to talk about Jesus. Because the devil don't want you talking about Jesus. They go to church. They go to the building. They go to the building. But they don't want you to keep stressed in about Jesus, talking about Jesus every time you get a chance. I got a friend. I have a friend, and we hadn't talked for a while in Virginia, metropolitan area. And she's a Caucasian lady, very nice lady. Love her, my family. And I got my study Bible there. She gave me about 18 or 19 years ago. It's falling apart, but tell that woman, she gave me that. And every time you see Helen Lara, her husband was a CIA. He's retired. Every time you see her, she talks about Jesus. I don't care if it's a supermarket, if it's a YMCA, wherever you see her, she sells real estate. I know she's still selling real estate. I haven't seen her in years. But whenever you see her, she's going to tell you about Jesus. She's going to ask you if you know Jesus, if you've been saved. Why? Because it's in her. It's in her. She'll bring anybody to her house and feed them. Don't care who they are. Because she ought to see Jesus in everything. See, verse 12 says, in order that all may be judged and condemned who did not believe in, who refused to adhere to, trust in, or rely on the truth, but instead took pleasure in unrighteousness. See, they don't want the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear you preaching about salvation. They don't want you hear you talking about Jesus dying on Calvary, that he was crucified, that he was nailed on the cross, that he was pierced, that his blood came down from his brow from the thorns. They don't want you telling that stuff. They don't want to hear you saying that he was buried and that God raised him from the grave on the third day. They don't want to hear that stuff. They refuse it. They say, I don't want to hear nothing. I'm living my life. I don't have time for that. I don't want to hear nothing about God. So what he do? He allowed them to go on and accept the unrighteousness and live the unrighteousness that they've been living so they can be judged for refusing the truth. But we, brethren, beloved by the Lord, ought and are obligated as those who are in debt to give thanks always to God for you, because God chose you from the beginning as his first fruit, first converts for salvation through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and your belief in adherence to, trust in, and reliance on the truth. See, God chose you because of your faith, your belief in what you heard, what you saw, and allow you to be save and sanctify by the Holy Ghost. It was to this end that he called you to our gospel. See, when you hear the gospel, the Bible says in Romans 10 and 17, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So because you heard the word of God, you believed the word of God, you received the word of God, and the word of God converted you. See, because the word of God has life. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. And the spirit on the word of God gives you life. That give you a hunger and make you get thirsty and say, I want more. I want more. I want more. It was to this end that he called you to our gospel, the gospel that we're preaching here on Blog Talk Radio. There's people's lives that are changed all over the world when they hear Blog Talk Radio because they're hearing the truth. We're not compromising. We're not watering down the word. We're giving the word straight from the book, raw. Call it raw. We're giving you the word raw. So that you may obtain and share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So then, brethren, stand firm, Paul taught to them. Paul taught them, Thessalonian church. He said, so then, brethren. He said, so then, brethren, stand firm. Don't move. Don't fall backwards. And hold fast to the traditions and instructions which you were taught by us, whether by the word of our mouth or by letter. See, whether we send you this information through a text message, whether we send you through the satellite system to computer, or if you met us face-to-face. Well, I was just face-to-face with Apostle Millie and Apostle Linda Watson and Bishop James and Evangelist Lula and Prophetess Misha was with Apostle Stewart and Pastor George Stewart and the congregation. Well, they saw me. They heard the word out of me. I heard the word out of them. You see, so we believe. Now, Paul said, now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us everlasting consolation and encouragement and well-founded hope through his grace, unmerited favor, comfort and encourage your hearts and strengthen them, make them steadfast and keep them on serving in every good work. Paul says, he praying that this word will stay in your heart. Now let's go to Ezekiel, let's go to Psalm 10. Let's give you a couple more. I've got a quick, fast one. See, we're going to give you just a few more here. We get out of here. Psalm 10. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 10 and verse 7, I think it is. Psalm 10. This couple of the Lord give me this morning. Psalm 10, verse 7, yes. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. In other words, he said he should never be in trouble. That's the wicked man. The wicked man says he shall not be moved. You ever seen wicked people like that? They're in the street, gang banging and all that stuff, and they think that they got it all together. And nothing can happen to them. But the Bible says you see the wicked today, but tomorrow they will not be able to find. You will not be able to find them. They'll be gone. So don't be moved by the wickedness and how they're prospering. You know, sometimes we get envious because we say, well, I'm preaching the gospel. I'm serving God. I'm going to church 3 days a week. I'm there Sunday morning. I'm there Wednesday night. I'm there Saturday, Friday night, whenever the church building open, and I'm there. But I don't seem to prosper. And look at the wicked. The wicked says in their heart. The Bible says he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. He shall never be in trouble. That's what the wicked says. But we know different if you continue to read the book, but we're not going no further. Let me give this one. He says, listen to what he says. Verse 6. Verse 7 says, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Do you hear that? There's nothing good in it. In the wicked. In the wicked person, nothing good in it. Hallelujah. We're trying to show you this. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I don't know if I gave you this one already, but I'm going to give you again because the Lord has given it back to me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, I read it before, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. See, seducing spirits and the spirit that seduced them, in other words, entice them to do things that are contrary to God's word. So they're going to leave the gospel. You have folk in the house of the Lord that are shacking up and backing up and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because they are seducing spirits that are seducing them and causing them to do things that are contrary. They say, well, I'm prophet this body, I'm prophet this body, I'm apostle this body, apostle this body. But yet still, they're doing things that are contrary to the word of God. But in other words, what they're doing is not godly. They're not godly. You have people in this house that are married, they got a husband, they got a wife, and they're fornicating, they're committing adultery, and they're stealing, they're lying, they're cheating, they're cussing, they're getting drunk. Proverbs chapter 12. All this stuff because this person, we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. We just read the scripture right there. Seducing spirits. Proverbs chapter 12, I think I said, and verse 5. Chapter 12, verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceit. In other words, the advice that you get from the brother or sister in Christ are right. I'm talking about true brothers. I'm not talking about make-believe brothers. I'm not talking about those ones that say they are brothers, but they're not really brothers. I'm talking about ones that are living and dying for Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got message last night from apostles watching them. What a beautiful report we got last night with Darren. Her son, the doctors called her last night and tell her that her son was talking. Hallelujah! He was talking. Glory to God. Talking. Just a few days ago, he couldn't talk, couldn't do nothing. But he's talking. And now I believe that today he's off the oxygen machine. He's breathing on his own. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Next week, he'll be walking. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Listen to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. 32 says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. Listen, there's nothing good in the wicked. There's nothing good in the wicked. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's nothing good in the wicked. Listen to what we're talking about. Deceit. Deceitful. Verse chapter 11 of Proverbs. Verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You hear that? A person that is deceitful going to tell everything. They don't care about nobody's feeling. They do not care about anyone's feeling. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to another scripture, quick, fast, in a hurry. Isaiah chapter 53 and 9. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9. It's the word of God. We got to get the word of God. People say, well, it's a hurricane. I'm going to watch the football game. Man, you need the word of God. Suppose the hurricane come through your front window or side window, break off the side door and throw everything inside and take you with it. Get the word in. If you're going to die, die with the word. You know, when I was going to Africa, my first time, the doctor said, if you go, he says, I think it's first, second time. And he says, Rev, you got your heart with this, your heart with that. And I said, but I'm going anywhere because if I die, preaching the gospel, man, what's the best way? There's no better way. You die on the dance floor. You know, that having sex or something like that. Man, there's no better way to die than die preaching the gospel. Dancing before the Lord, singing the words of the Lord. Man, that's the best way to die. Be preaching and die. Man, you go straight. If you're living right and you preach dying, you're going straight in the bosom of the Lord. Hallelujah. Like when Lazarus the beggar man was taken up. He was taken up in Abraham's bosom. Abraham was like a son, like God ambassador. He was in Abraham's bosom. Now here in Isaiah 53 and 9, he says, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Talking about Jesus. You will look at 1 John 3 and 5. 1 John 3 and 5. Jesus went between the wicked and the dead. He went between them. The wicked, the rich, and the dead. The death. He's between them. He had no violence. There was no wickedness in them. 1 John 3 and 5. 1 John 3 and 5. 1 John 3 and 5. Glory to God. 3 and 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away all sins, and in him is no sin. Jesus was, he came to the earth. He leave his home in glory and came into time to take away the sin of mankind. Hallelujah. To give us the right to the tree of life. To give us the right to drink from the fountain of life. He is the fountain of life. But he had no sin in him. He take on our sin on the cross, but he had no sin in him. When you hear a sinner take on a sin, he died for our sin. He didn't have to put our sin in his heart, but he died for our sin. But he had no sin in him. He was the just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He was manifested, he was made known, came into the earth to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. If you continue to sin and claiming that you know Christ, you don't know him. You really don't have a relationship with him. And you know, folk get away with, well, not get away, but folks say stuff like, the Lord knew I was going to do this. The Lord knew I was going to do it. The Lord knew I was going to sin. Jesus died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to sin anymore. He died so we wouldn't have to die. We will die physical death, but we will not die spiritual death. That's why he died on the cross. He gave his life so that we could have access to everlasting life. Access to everlasting life. How do you get access to everlasting life? By receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. By turning your life completely over to him. Go to Proverbs 25 and 19. I'll give you three more scriptures we get rid of. Proverbs 25 and 19. Proverbs 25 and 19. Proverbs 25 and 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man is, in time of trouble, is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You hear that? If you put confidence in an unfaithful person, a person that you can't really trust, really, if they're unfaithful, you ought not be trusting them. But if you put your trust in them, your confidence in trust, it's like a broken tooth. You having pain. You're going to suffer. Hallelujah. And a foot out of joint. So why would you put your trust in an unfaithful, deceitful person? Because you don't know any better. Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 27 and 6. 27 and 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, some friends going to hurt you. Some friends will hurt you from time to time. But if they're truly as a friend, they'll be faithful unto you. They're not hurting you because they want to mistreat you. It hurts because things happen. Things just happen. But some folk will come and kiss you. They will kiss you and love upon you like they really is your friend, but at the same time, they want to kill you. And this is what he's saying. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Some folk that claim they're your friends, they're not really your friends. They're your enemies. And this is what happened to Darian. Darian was with some people. And from what I got in my spirit, that they tried to put something on him, a Mickey. And it almost took his life. Now he got to wade who he be with from now on. And he had to cut loose a lot of people. And I'm sure his mama goes, spend some time talking to him. Go to Proverbs. We give you that. They're ready. 14 and 25. We give you that. Go to Proverbs. Jeremiah 48 and 10. This is the last scripture I'll give you. Jeremiah 48 and 10. You know, you got to weigh people out. Don't listen to because people, everybody's saying, I think I'm going to give you the scripture radio, but I'll give you again. Radio to hear. Everybody's saying stuff. Don't go over them. Don't follow them. 48 and 10. Jeremiah 48 and 10. And I don't think they'll never read this. He says, this is powerful verse here. And he says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Hear what he's saying. If you doing this work here, preaching and teaching this gospel deceitfully, you'll be cursed. If you're misusing the word of God for your own self, you will be cursed. You hear what I'm telling you? Go to Daniel chapter 8. I don't think I'll give you this one. Daniel chapter 8. Matter of fact, let's start at Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Give one verse there and then go to chapter 8 and one verse there. And we'll get out of here. This is a powerful, powerful word. I got to get it on here. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time of times and the dividing of time. Listen to this. This is so powerful. Read these chapters. These chapters will bless your heart. Daniel chapter 7 and chapter 8. He's talking with the devil, the Antichrist. Okay, the dragon. He's talking about all those that are against God. He's going to speak great words against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to do this for a time and times. Understand? This can go on for a while. But when Jesus comes, all going in. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25. Listen what it says. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of the princes. That's against Christ. But he shall be broken without hand. Listen. He shall be broken without hand. No hand going to have to touch him. Just the word of God. Boom. Boom. Break him. Daniel is talking about the time that is to come. We are looking right now. We see these spirits are in the earth. That's what we are talking about. The spirit of deception is in the earth. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to receive him. And the Bible says that God sent his son, his only begotten son, into the earth, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible also said that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be safe. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be made, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that come, but doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. Romans chapter 10, verse 10, 9, verse 9, 10, and 11. Hallelujah. My mind going blank there. I got there, know these scriptures, but my mind just went blank right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're talking about the salvation right now. That's what we're talking about, salvation. Salvation right now and now. So the Bible says that, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Hallelujah, glory to God. The Bible says, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they be, shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him and of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good glad tidings unto the of good things. This is the word of God. The Bible says in Acts 2 and 38, Peter said to them, repent, every one of you. Acts 2 and 38, glory to God. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to everyone that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. In the book of Acts 4 and 8, let's start at 4 and 4 and let's start at 4 and 8. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we did this day be examined of the good deed done to this, to the impudent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you hold. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, Peter did not take the praise, did not take the glory that belongs to Jesus. He let them know that the same Jesus that they have crucified, the same one that they rejected, is the reason why the man that they that is standing there whole is standing there whole. The Bible says that you must confess. The Bible says and that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 6 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the book of Mark, we read a couple more scriptures. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, the very last book, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, the Bible says, and he said unto them, talking about Jesus, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In the book of Ephesians, I believe, Ephesians 2:8-9, the Bible speaks about faith. Because it's not works. You can't do anything. You can't give anything. You can't purchase it. Nobody can give it to you. Only one can give it to you is Jesus Christ. And a lot of times when people say, well, I'm giving this and I'm giving that. And well, they think they're going to get to heaven because they're giving the church and buying pews and buying music for the church and all that stuff. That's not going to get you to heaven. What's going to get you to heaven is believing, trusting Jesus Christ, living in Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, honoring his commandments, living the commandments. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man will boast. Any man shall boast. So we got to understand that this is a free gift. All we need to do is believe in what we hear and what we see. We saw in the word of God, and we hear in the word of God that Jesus was crucified at Calvary, that he was condemned by the rulers of his time and sentenced to be to death by means of the cross. And this cross was set up so that mankind could see this one that was charged with the sin of the whole world. Openly, he was declared openly the one who paid the debt for mankind on the cross. The debt that we owed that we could not pay, and the debt that he didn't owe, he paid. And if you believe what you heard in the word of God, and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, my sins for all sins, and you know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, it's the only way to heaven. Your boss, your supervisor, your wife, your husband, your children, your brother, sister, no one can take you to heaven. The only one can take you there is Jesus. Jesus says there are many other ways to heaven, but Jesus said he's the only way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and 6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. If you come in any other way else you try to get in, you are a thief and a robber. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can't get in no other way. You can only come in through Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is the door. He stands at the door and knocks. The door at your heart, knocking on your heart, asking you to accept him, to let him in. And if you open the door, he said he will come in and sup with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says in Revelation 22 and 7, he said, I am coming quickly. He said, I'm coming quickly, coming like a thief in the night. No one know the day or the hour. You can get it wrong. You can play a party trick with your life, hit a party with your life, with your soul, because you're going to die. But there's a second death. You know, nobody talks about the second death. They don't talk about it a lot. They only say that you're going to die. You're going to die. You got to die. But they don't tell that you got a second death, because there's a second resurrection. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus died. Glory to God. He resurrected. We're going to resurrect. And then there's going to be a second resurrection. That's the second death. Resurrected for the second death. And you're going to be condemned to death in the lake of fire and brimstone. That's the spiritual death. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day for you to receive him. Now the hurricane is supposed to hit Louisiana, New Orleans, and Mississippi, and somewhere between traveling 1 o'clock. I hate to say it, but many people are going to die. I hate to say, I pray that God save lives today, but many people are going to die. You guys, we like it or not, because the storm is 150, 160 miles an hour, and that's a horrific hurricane. So, but if people that die don't know Jesus, guess where they're going? To hell. Eventually, they're going to end up in hell. So if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, this is a good day to receive him. To this one guy that I ordained from Texas, named Larry, I can't remember his last name, but he used to say, when he did the prayer stop, he says, today is a good day to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He used to say, I used to like that. He said, today is a good day to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Matter of fact, the next hour, the next minute, next second, that from people right now, we're seeing these people are dying. Right now, we're about to see this prayer of salvation, there's people dying. Glory to God. Somebody just crossed over that second, that fast. Somebody just crossed over to another dimension. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's a good day to receive him. You may be saying, well, I'm young and I don't need to do that right now. Death don't care how old you are, or how young you are. When death comes, you see young people die, car turn over, and the people in the car die. One person flew out the car, went out the window, and died instant death, young, 18 years old. They were joyriding, and the young man that was driving the car lose control and run off the road and hit a tree. Some of the people flew out the car, went out the window from the sudden jump and died. They probably thought that they were going to get home and they were going to eat and they were going to watch TV, watch the ball game. They died. People of God, I'm telling you today that we need to, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm taking time because it's important. This is the greatest time of the service. The word was a strong word, but this is the greatest part of the service, to give your life, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to give your life. Give your life to Christ Jesus. Give your life to him. That's what you gotta do. So if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, just say today with me. This pray that the Lord has given me the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day that you have kept me alive in the land of the living. Give me another opportunity to come to seek your face. Jesus, I realize today that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And my sin has been a wall between me and salvation, me and my Savior. So today, I'm coming to you with great expectation, knowing that you're the only one that can save my soul. Jesus, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents, and this world system, all that it stands for. I'm opening the door to my heart right now, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. And I'm confessing with my mouth that which I believe in my heart, that you died on Calvary, that you was crucified on a hill called Golgotha, or the Calvary. I believe this, Lord Jesus, in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth, that God raised you up on the third day, that you sit at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me even right now. Jesus, I am asking you to forgive me of my sins, according to 1 John 1 and 9, as I confess my sins before you today. And my sins are many. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fill me with the Holy Ghost according to Acts 2:38. Give me the gift of the Holy Ghost that I will be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy in times of temptations and trials. Jesus, I need you to enter my heart right now. Take up your rightful position as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King on the throne of my heart. I no longer want to be the King of my life, but I want you to be. Jesus, wash me in your blood, the blood that never lost its first estate. Cleanse me and make me whole again. I accept you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Well, if you just said that prayer and you believe what you said, you have just received the gift of salvation. Well, back in 2010, he told me that tell the people to get a Bible of your choice and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of this Jesus, these apostles that we preach and teach about, the Messiah. Okay? Study the Word, as I'm saying to you. Study the Word of God. And as you study the Word of God, invite the Holy Ghost to give you clear understanding of what the Word is saying. And then I want you to call up a pastor, apostle, a bishop, evangelist, teacher, someone that know how to baptize. And be specific about the baptism that you want to receive. Say, look, I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I receive the gift of salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm studying my word, but I want to be baptized. And they might tell you, well, we don't baptize in Father, Son, in Jesus' name, we baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost according to Matthew 28:19-20. You say, well, that's okay. I'll get back in touch with you. Don't cuss out the pastor and get mad with the pastor. Well, the Bible says in Acts 2:30, I got baptized in Jesus' name. Don't do none of that stuff. Don't start no confusion because he's not the author of confusion. Just leave and tell him you'll get back in touch with him. Connect with your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your enemies, because you want, this is a great day of your life, your new beginning, your new birthday, and get with somebody that know how to baptize in Jesus' name. And once you set up that, invite all these folk. And when you're going down in that water, you consider you're going down in a liquid grave with Jesus. You're going down with him because he's never going to leave you or forsake you. He's with you. And as you go down there, you're letting go of this world system, your old beliefs, and taking on a new belief, a new focus, focus in Jesus Christ. And when you come up out that water, excited and delighted, oh my God, that you have been baptized in Jesus' name. Seek out a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. You might say that, but I don't know too much Bible. You don't need a lot. All you need is your testimony. Start with your testimony. How Jesus delivered you from sin, how he delivered you from the pit of hell and set you free. When I started cleaning the bathrooms and setting up the pews and vacuuming the sanctuary. That was my ministry. Cleaning up the parking lot, all that's ministry. And then I started studying the word, getting into work, going to classes to know more about the Bible, understand the Bible and how to parallel the Bible. And God is changing my life, because I'm not there yet, but he's changing my life. Every day he's changing a little bit more being, and he'll do the same for you. Just trust him. Get hooked up with other like-minded Christians, people that really sold out, hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Get connected with them, because everybody that's going to the building is not sold out. Everybody that's going to the building is not for Jesus. Everybody, some people are going there because they're just going because their mama went, their grandpa, their uncle, their aunt, their husband going or their wife going. But they're not going because they're going because they want to go to heaven. They want to see Jesus one day say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. They're not going for that. I thank God for all you that listen today and those that will listen later. Pray your protection. I pray your strength in the Lord. And if you are in the area of where the hurricane is coming, get to a place that is safe. Don't be strong-headed like the Israelites. Don't get strong-headed and think you're going to stand the storm. The storm is stronger than you. The wind is stronger than the tractor trailer. You see the wind turn, the tractor trailer's over. Big homes, high-rise buildings come down. Hallelujah. Trees that have been up for hundreds of years are torn up out the ground by the wind and the water. Don't be strong-headed. I'm going to stick. I got to watch my television. I got to watch my house. You'll get another house. But if that storm take your house over and you're not in a good, secure place, you can lose your life. The house can crush you to death. Or the galvanized sheets, the metal sheets or whatever, because a 2x4 can go through you and pierce you and take your life. Get out of the neighborhood. Go to a higher ground. Don't let it be said it was too late. They stayed behind. God bless you, and I thank God for all that he's doing for all of us. And as we leave this line, but not your presence, God's presence, Father, we just thank you and praise you for the word today. I pray that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. God, continue to make us a head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, we pray that you continue to make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Oh, Father, we ask that you help us to get more funds. People will give, oh God, so that we can help the widows, the fatherless, the mothers, the homeless, and the orphans, oh God, that we can help those that are less fortunate than us. Father, we are praying today for safety for those that are still traveling on the highways trying to get out of Dodge from the hurricane. We pray for traveling mercy that people will be cordial to each other on the highway, because people are getting mad. People traveling with guns in their car, they were acting up. And we pray that, oh God, there be no life lost, Lord. We pray that you just watch over those that are calling upon your name even right now. And even those that don't call upon your name, God, give them a chance to call upon your name, Father. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed day, Sunday day, and we will talk to you all later. See you all on tomorrow morning. The Lord say the same. We will be here breaking bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Bye-bye.